Section 4. God's Church Triumphant. God is leading. From light to light, God is leading his people. He liveth in light, unapproachable, but surrounded by 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of holy, happy beings, every one of them waiting to do his bidding. They are not inactive, but in communication with other worlds, in all God's vast dominion. This little world is but an atom of the Lord's dominion. Through various agencies, divine and human, he is seeking to save. He is actually stooping from his throne and observing the movements of every living being. And in his books are recorded every transaction. And through heavenly agencies, he is lifting up the oppressed and pointing the way before every soul, the way to reach the mansions above. If men would cooperate with God, light from his throne would be penetrating all the highways and byways of life. All things are possible to those who are connected with the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness. No call for despondency. Elder Olson, I urge you to be of good courage. Have confidence in God. Carry every burden to him. He can and will make you efficient. But you must have faith. Do not be depressed. Do not mourn in secret because of the unfaithfulness of the watchmen on the walls of Zion. There is no call for despondency and misapprehension. Place yourself where the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness can shine into all the chambers of your mind and into the soul temple. Ye are the light of the world, God says. He will make those who are faithful in the church radiant with the word of God. His spirit will be communicated to human instrumentalities, giving them light before which moral darkness must flee away. Words of confidence and encouragement. One of Mrs. White's last messages, sent to the 1913 General Conference. For a number of months after the close of that meeting, the meeting referred to is the General Conference of 1909. I bore a heavy burden and urged upon the attention of the brethren in responsibility those things which the Lord was instructing me to set before them plainly. Finally, some of those in positions of trust in connection with the general work, after much prayer and careful study of the various messages given, ventured to undertake by faith the work called for. A work they could not fully understand. And as they went forward in the fear of God, they received rich blessing. It has brought great rejoicing to my heart to see the marvelous transformations that have been wrought in the lives of some who thus chose to advance by faith in the way of the Lord, rather than to follow a way of their own choosing. Had those brethren in responsibility continued to view matters in a false light, they would have created a condition of things that would sadly have marred the work. But when they heeded the instruction that was sent and sought the Lord, God brought them into the full light and enabled them to render acceptable service and to bring about spiritual reformations. When the Lord sets his hand to prepare the way before his ministers, it is their duty to follow where he directs. He will never forsake or leave in uncertainty those who follow his leadings with full purpose of heart. I rejoice, my brethren, that I have confidence in you in all things. And while I still feel the deepest anxiety over the attitude that some are taking toward important measures connected with the development of the cause of God in the earth, yet I have strong faith in the workers throughout the field, and believe that as they meet together and humble themselves before the Lord, and consecrate themselves anew to his service, they will be enabled to do his will. I have been deeply impressed by scenes that have recently passed before me in the night season. There seemed to be a great movement, a work of revival, going forward in many places. Our people were moving into line, responding to God's call. My brethren, the Lord is speaking to us. Shall we not heed his voice? Shall we not trim our lamps and act like men who look for their Lord to come? The time is one that calls for light-bearing, for action. I therefore beseech you, brethren, that ye walk humbly of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The General Conference Bulletin, May 19, 1913, page 34. Republished in Selected Messages 2, 401-2. In the Closing Work. In this closing work of the Gospel, there is a vast field to be occupied. And more than ever before, the work is to enlist helpers from the common people. Both the youth and those older in years will be called from the field, from the vineyard, and from the workshop, and sent forth by the Master to give his message. Many of these may have had little opportunity for education, but Christ sees in them qualifications that will enable them to fulfill his purpose. If they put their hearts into the work and continue to be learners, he will fit them to labor for him. With such preparation as they can gain, thousands upon thousands of the youth and those older in years should be giving themselves to the work. Already many hearts are responding to the call of the master worker, and their numbers will increase. All who engage in ministry are God's helping hand. There is no line of work in which it is possible for the youth to receive greater benefit. They are co-workers with the angels. Rather, they are human agencies through whom the angels accomplish their mission. Angels speak through their voices and work by their hands. And the human workers, cooperating with heavenly agencies, have the benefit of their education and experience. Many will be stirred. Many young men and women now engaged in secular labor will feel earnestly stirred to give themselves to the service of God, to become channels of light. Some will feel a burden to enter the canvassing field and will become able evangelists. Let these be given an opportunity to obtain an education for the work of God. And let all God's workers help and cheer and encourage one another with their prayers and faithful conversation, impressing one another with the dignity and responsibility of the work in which they are engaged. All missionary work is sacred. Said Paul, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Workers from all classes. The truth is to go forth as a lamp that burneth. The Lord will call men of high and low degree to do his bidding. The prophet Daniel was a man of royal birth and noble heritage. Not many mighty, not many noble, are called. Yet we know that the Lord has chosen men from the highest ranks. On them the light of heaven has shone, and they have adorned by their practice the truth of Jehovah. Isaiah and Daniel were of royal birth. David was called from the sheepfold to the throne of Israel. Amos was a herdsman. Zechariah, a captive from Babylon. Elisha, a plowman. So the Lord calls men from all ranks to enter his service. Hundreds of workers. Souls are perishing, and hundreds of workers are now needed. Men will be moved by the Holy Spirit to leave their ordinary employment and enter the barren fields that have never heard the last message of mercy. Many will be endowed with power from on high. They will work wisely, not expending means lavishly, but studying how souls can be brought to the knowledge of the truth by the opening of the Scriptures in house-to-house labor. This work men and women will take hold of for the love of Christ. When the church is awakened. When the church is awakened, decided changes will be made. Men and women will be converted, and so filled will they be by the Spirit of God that they will pass from country to country, from city to city, proclaiming the message of truth. With hearts filled with earnest love for souls, they will open their Bibles and present the word. It is written. Wherever they go, a people will be raised up to stand in the day of the Lord. The simplicity of these humble workers will be their strength, for angels of God work with those who are humble and obedient. Learned, eloquent men will not see the results from their work that are seen by these humble, zealous, praying men. The message will go with power. We are near the close of the controversy between the Prince of Light and the Prince of Darkness, and soon the delusions of the enemy will try our faith, of what sort it is. Satan will work miracles in the sight of the beast, and deceive them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. But though the Prince of Darkness will work to cover the earth with darkness, and with gross darkness the people, the Lord will manifest his converting power. A work is to be accomplished in the earth, similar to that which took place at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the days of the early disciples, when they preached Jesus and him crucified. Many will be converted in a day, for the message will go with power. It can then be said, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost."
The work of the Holy Spirit is immeasurably great. It is from this source that power and efficiency come to the worker for God. As Christ was glorified on the day of Pentecost, so will he again be glorified in the closing work of the gospel, when he shall prepare a people to stand the final test in the closing conflict of the great controversy. Final success dependent on unity. I have laid out the matter as it has been presented to me. The third angel's message, in the place of swelling into a loud cry, is being smothered. Discouragements have come in, but the work is not to stop thus. It is to increase in the power of the Spirit of God. The time has come when the whole earth is to be enlightened with the glory of the angel which came down from heaven. A decided work is to be done in presenting the truth for this time, the truth that will sanctify the soul, for we are in that age of the world's history which Christ declared should be as the days of Noah were. Two great armies are engaged in warfare. Satan with his great army is in conflict with Christ and God and the heavenly host. Satan has come down with great power, for he knows that his time is short, and he is working with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Then let the people who believe present truth understand that there is a work to be done in our world. If we are laborers together with God, we have many fellow laborers with whom we should unite with heart and mind and strength. Our success depends upon our unity. Our efficiency and the power of our influence depends upon our wise and unreserved cooperation with one another and with God. We are to advance the work in new territories, sustaining pure principles at every step. We are to cooperate with the angel that is flying in the midst of heaven, who also is in harmony with the two former angels in forwarding the solemn event of the second appearing of Christ in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. An assurance that there will be unity. Evil must be assailed. Falsehood and error must be made to appear in their true character. Sin must be denounced, and the testimony of every believer in the truth must be as one. All your little differences, which arouse the combative spirit among brethren, are devices of Satan to divert minds from the great and fearful issue before us. The true peace will come among God's people when, through united zeal and earnest prayer, the false peace that exists to a large degree is disturbed. Now there is earnest work to do. Now is the time to manifest your soldierly qualities. Let the Lord's people present a united front to the foes of God and truth and righteousness. When the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the early church, the whole multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. The Spirit of Christ made them one. This is the fruit of abiding in Christ. We have need of divine illumination. Every individual is striving to become a center of influence, and until God works for His people, they will not see that subordination to God is the only safety for any soul. His transforming grace upon human hearts will lead to unity that has not yet been realized, for all who are assimilated to Christ will be in harmony with one another. The Holy Spirit will create unity. At the 11th hour, many souls will come from other denominational churches, and at the 11th hour will obey all the truth, because they have not set themselves in array against heaven's light, but lived up to all the light they had. While those who have had great light, large privileges and opportunities, and have failed to live in the light and walk in the light, will drop out by the way. Their light will shine less and less until their lamps will go out for the want of the oil of grace in their vessels with their lamps. Thousands will acknowledge the truth. As we near the time when principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places will be brought into warfare against the truth, when the deceiving power of Satan will be so great that if it were possible, he will deceive the very elect, we must have our discernment sharpened by divine enlightenment, that we may know the Spirit that is of God, that we may not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Human effort must combine with divine power, that we may be able to accomplish the closing work for this time. Christ used the wind as a symbol of the Spirit of God. As the wind bloweth whither it listeth, and we cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so it is with the Spirit of God. We do not know through whom it will be manifested.
But I speak not my own words when I say that God's Spirit will pass by those who have had their day of test and opportunity, but who have not distinguished the voice of God or appreciated the movings of His Spirit. Then thousands in the 11th hour will see and acknowledge the truth. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the ploughman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. These conversions to truth will be made with a rapidity that will surprise the church, and God's name alone will be glorified. Harvest, proportional to agencies used. We see the need of more devoted laborers. The prayer should go forth from unfeigned lips, for the God of the harvest to raise up laborers, for an increase of Christian instrumentality. The harvest of the world is to be reaped through the heavenly instrumentality cooperating with human agencies. In proportion as the agency is increased under the superintendency of holy messengers from heaven, will be the extent of the harvest reaped. Victory from apparent defeat. Never has there been a time when man has been so responsible to God as he is at the present hour. Never has there been a time when man's position has been so critical as it is now. All things in nature and in the world at large are charged with intense earnestness. Satan, in cooperation with his angels and with evil men, will put forth every effort to gain the victory and will appear to succeed. But from this conflict, truth and righteousness will come forth triumphant in victory. Those who have believed a lie will be defeated, for the days of apostasy will be ended. An all-absorbing question. Those who are under the influence of the Spirit of God will not be fanatical, but calm, steadfast, free from extravagance. But let all who have had the light of truth shining clear and distinct upon their pathway be careful how they cry peace and safety. Be careful how you make the first move to suppress the message of truth. Be careful what influence you exert at this time. Those who profess to believe the special truths for this time need to be converted and sanctified by the truth. As Christians, we are made depositaries of sacred truth, and we are not to keep the truth in the outer court, but bring it into the sanctuary of the soul. Then the church will possess divine vitality throughout. The weak shall be as David, and David as the angel of the Lord. One question will be all-absorbing. Who shall approach nearest the likeness of Christ? Who shall do the most to win souls to righteousness? When this is the ambition of believers, contention is at an end. The prayer of Christ is answered. Jesus longs to bestow the heavenly endowment in large measure upon his people. Prayers are ascending to God daily for the fulfillment of the promise, and not one of the prayers put in faith is lost. Christ ascended on high, leading captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. When after Christ's ascension the Spirit came down as promised, like a rushing, mighty wind, filling the whole place where the disciples were assembled, what was the effect? Thousands were converted in a day. We have taught, we have expected, that an angel is to come down from heaven, that the earth will be lightened with his glory. Then we shall behold an ingathering of souls similar to that witnessed on the day of Pentecost.